name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
June 1st. Are you kidding me? June 1st. How did that pop up on top of us all of a sudden? Got my granddaughter Reese down there saying hi to all of you this morning. We're celebrating June 1st, 2017. Lord's not making another one. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us with Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. What, sweetie? Next June. Yeah, it'll be a June 1st next year, but it won't be a June 1st, 2017. Won't ever be another one. 2018 be the next one. Thanks for joining us, folks. Hey, if you're out there wandering around, George walking through the airport. George is heading this way today. You want to jump in? Here we got a little bit of room inside the queue. Doesn't happen to us all the time, but we do have a spot available for you. And man, a lot of I'm a man of faith. Can I show you I'm a man of faith? I'm still standing for Hillary in prison. Now, I don't think it's going to happen in 2016, but I've been watching what's going on. I don't know if you guys are keeping up with it. We haven't been talking about current events and that kind of thing a whole lot anymore, Reese. Don't climb up there, sweetie. We haven't been talking about current events and all that kind of stuff because we've been focusing more on spiritual issues. But if you watch the news at all, and I'm not going to talk so much about it today, but I do want to make it a point. This thing with Seth Rich is really starting to gain some traction. Jerome Corsi did a great big expose yesterday. There's a guy named George Webb, I think is his name, on the internet. There are many others who are doing back. Okay, honey, going up with Grandma now. Thank you. There are many who are doing background. See, folks, listen, through all this WikiLeaks and all this stuff, all this information's out there. And what we are seeing is that there is definitely two systems of justice in America, two systems of justice. The elites, for the most part, are void, that's not the right word. They're immune. No justice for the elite. One of the things that really spun out of control that they're fighting so hard now, that's why they hate Trump. That's why they're trying to get one of their guys back into positions of power, is they were not banking on an outsider becoming president of the United States. Now, you say, well, Trump's not an outsider. We can run through that thing all we want to. I'm telling you, as far as everything that's going on in Washington, D.C., Trump's an outsider. Now, he may be an insider on some of them, but all the WikiLeaks and all the stuff that they were doing, all they were worried about, they figured that Hillary Clinton was going to come in. She was going to appoint her own attorney general, own FBI director, and they would bury the evidence. We're finding out now, man, there is some big, big stuff coming. So there's a warning. That's a warning, should be a warning to all of us that they're not going to take this lying down. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how the thing's going to play out. I saw today, again, you take it with a grain of salt. Anything that you find on, I'm going to talk about faith today. Hang in there with me. Take it with a grain of salt, anything that you find on the internet. But we do know this, that it looks like Uma Abedin is very, very deeply connected to these WikiLeaks. I saw a report this morning. Again, I don't know if it's true, that Uma leaked this information to Seth Rich, who then leaked it to WikiLeaks. That Huma Abedin, as we know, is a mother and father are in the middle of the Muslim Brotherhood, and that they've been infiltrated. The Democratic Party been infiltrated. Our government's been infiltrated from enemies without. And that's part of what's breaking loose here. So there, you know, there are some guys who are really, really laying their lives on the line right now. And they're talking about some of this stuff. So we are in an amazing time in America. What a time to be alive. Again, a couple slots available in the queue. Want to jump in? I want to talk to you a little bit. I got some of you remember about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. I can't remember how long ago it was now. I had the opportunity to go speak at Thomas Worthington High School to a class of seniors called Radical Political Science. And to one of the things I talked about, normally I go in and just talk about my faith and why it's a Christian nation and why it's important that we hang on to Christianity and all that. all that stuff that that I do regularly. But this time, when I went into the class, I took on science. Really wasn't what I planned to do, but I took on science, or I wish I'd been thinking back then, fake science. See, so much of what they're teaching us just absolutely is not true. Not true. So yesterday, I received in the mail from a class that I went and visited. They all write a couple-page reaction paper that the teacher then sends to me, and I get to read the response of the kids. And here's what I got out of yesterday's response. It kind of troubles me. Doesn't trouble me. It just kind of reinforces with me. I'm surprised how many students said something in regards to this. You ready? Boy, I sure love Coach's presentation. Boy, he surely believes what he believes. Boy, oh boy, he can sure defend what he believes. But boy, oh boy, he sure is not keeping up with the times. Boy, oh boy, his views are old-fashioned, and we're not going to be living like that anymore. Now, I can't tell you the number of the responses that give kids in there who would self-identify as Christians. I'm a Christian. I go to church, but I'm a Christian. I go to church, but who are we to judge? I'm a Christian. I go to church, but we should stop attacking homosexuals because they were born that way. I'm a Christian. I go to church, but the evidence shows that we were not created, that we on and on and on in these reactions from these students. And I come to the realization that I look at myself, I'm 64 and a half years old. I think I've become half. Is it possible to be half a year? 64 and a half years old. And realizing that 20 years, I have 20 years maybe, 84. I live to be 84. That's probably a pretty good old life. And 20 years. And to realize that those kids sitting in that classroom are 17 or 18 years old. You had 20 years on. And 20 years when I'm 84, they're 38. They're in charge. They're large and in charge. And I was reading a study yesterday that those of us who are baby boomers, we're already old story, man. We're already on our way out. We have, except for financial, we have lost our influence in the world. And we've lost our influence in the world mainly because we've taken our finances and we've used our finances for the most part only for the betterment of ourselves. We're to leave it to our children and our grandchildren, which, of course, biblically, it says that a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And that is a wise man to do that. But unfortunately, we are leaving an inheritance. Well, what inheritance are we leaving to our children's children? Exactly what kind of nation are we leaving them? And when the Lord talks about leaving an inheritance to our children's children, he's not talking about money. Not money at all. So I was reading these reactions. I was going to bring them down. Maybe tomorrow I'll get some of them ready to read to you. I was looking eyeball to eyeball with the inheritance that we're leaving to our children, and it ain't very good, guys. It isn't very good. And so here's where one of the ways that we've tripped up. I got in a conversation with someone on my, I think it was on my Facebook page, or maybe it was an email back and forth. I can't remember for sure. I want to prove a point to you. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. And the word again, violent. Have you ever been violated without somebody using a weapon on you or a gun or beating up on you? The violence doesn't always mean physical. If I post pictures of someone on the internet nude without their approval, I've violated them, okay? But someone breaks into my house and paints pictures on my wall, they have violated me, right? If someone breaks into my car and steals my sound system out of my car, they have violated me. If I send my child to school and they destroy my child's faith, they have violated me. Are we all on the same page on this? Because we have such a mindset that violence is only physical. Folks, I'm going to tell you some of the most destructive violence that we're ever going to come across is spiritual violence, spiritual, emotional violence, intellectual violence. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been violated. It's been attacked and torn down, and things said about it that weren't true. And that's where we're at. Sorry, it's fighting something in my ear this morning. So I come across this conversation on my Facebook page, YouTube page. I don't remember where it was. And all of a sudden, this guy who I was harsh with, okay? I was very harsh when the debate started. He accused me of some things. Of course, I came right back, hit him right between the eyes. He came back with something else, and I gave him a left cross. Came back. See, I wasn't trying to lead him to Christ. I was trying to shock him, to wake him up. And then last night, I got a response from him. It was amazing. All of a sudden, he softened. And the comment went something like this, you know, I'm amazed how strongly you believe what you believe. And I was raised this way, but I don't believe that anymore. And how can you be so sure of what you believe? Are you hearing me? Are you folks, do you understand what I'm saying? That something about my, dare I say it, harshness, my boldness, tore down some walls in this guy's life. And all of a sudden we began to have a dialogue back and forth about faith. Turn to Hebrews 11. Kind of what I want to share with you here today. Faith. You know that most of what we believe by faith. Almost everything. Everything we believe, we almost believe by faith. People say, how do you know Jesus Christ existed? So, well, let me ask you a question, and then I'll answer yours. How do you know George Washington existed? And they say, well, read about him in the history books. We got statues of him in Washington, D.C. We have cities named after him. I said, so, how do you know he existed? Well, because I read about it. Other people told me about it. Okay. Well, now how I know Jesus existed? Other people told me about him. There's a book written by him. There's time measured by him. So the debate's not whether or not Jesus Christ existed, brother. The debate is Jesus Christ Lord? That's the debate. Was Jesus Christ just merely a man? And if Jesus Christ was just merely a man, can you please explain to me why here we are 2,000 years later, still measuring time by his death, birth? Huh? We still have a culture, a civilization based on him if this guy didn't really exist. But here's what I want you to see and understand. The only way I know about him, somebody else told me, an eyewitness told me about him. I said, so much of the stuff that you believe in by faith. You don't know, you don't realize you are. Evolution is totally, completely faith. Totally and completely faith. Government law. How about this one? Abortion. The Supreme Court legalized abortion. No, they didn't. They told you that and you believed it by faith. Right? Right? I could go on and on and on and on with things that we believe by faith that simply are not true. They're not. In fact, most things that you believe, you have to believe by faith. And remember, the scientific method teaches us that you can never prove anything to be true. You can only prove it to be false. So when someone asks you, prove God exists, you can't do it, see? You can't do it. You can only present evidence. But until you can actually take a hold of him and put him in your hand, you can't do that, right? You with me? I'm in Hebrews 11 because we as Christians, we need to begin to understand so that we can share with others the difference between science and faith. The two really are not that much different. In fact, faith, religious faith, the Bible will, in fact, support science. And if we were perfectly honest about it, science will support Christianity, if we'd be perfectly honest about it. Of course, we don't want to be. I'm in Hebrews chapter 1, 11 chapter 1. Let me get my glasses on there. It says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let's even take that out of there. Let's take hope out of there. Now faith is substance of things not seen. Faith is substance of things not seen. I was watching the Cleveland Cavaliers. They start again tonight against the Golden State Warriors. I was I was watching last year when they were down 3-1, and I had very little faith that they could win. But when they won game five, I thought, well, maybe they can. Then they won game six. I thought, gee, well, maybe they can. And then when they went into game seven, I had faith that they could win. And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things, the evidence of, I'm sorry, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Entire world operates on faith. Come down here in the morning and I turn on my lights when I walk down to my studio. I believe my lights are going to come on. I don't know how, but by faith they come on. I got faith that Jared's going to be on the other side of the screen. He's going to do everything that he needs to do to make this podcast happen. I got faith that Larry's going to log in and Sarge's going to log in. I got faith that people are going to join me here every day. I got faith that my words are going to go forth. People are going to hear them. See, faith is always in regards to something that has not yet happened, for the most part, or a belief of something that happened in the past that you didn't see. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things that we cannot see. So what has happened to us in Christianity? We have moved off of evidence-based faith to hope-based faith. Well, see, we've fallen into this trap, as I'm still comparing us to these teenagers that I got these notes from, okay? They believe that something is only true if they believe it. It's only true if they believe it. See, that's the whole tolerance and diversity crowd. That's the whole point they come from. They believe that you should tolerate all beliefs, except if it's a belief they don't agree with, it shouldn't be tolerated. See, they want only tolerated what they believe. Are you following me? Follow me? Let's ask ourselves this question. Why is Christianity under such attack? Why don't we see Buddhism under attack? Why don't we see people out marching against Buddhism? Why do we see the acceptance of Islam? What is going on? Why do people hate Christianity so much? Why is Christianity under such attack? Oh, I believe it's because we've moved from faith-based teaching to feelings-based teachings. And what is it my buddy Chad says? Your emotions will betray you. You guys with me? Are you with me? So what we see happening all across America now is people are living their lives based on what they feel rather than the evidence that is presented to them. Okay? I'm going to play a quick little video here. Hang on, Jared. Let's do this real quick, Jared. Let's jump up there and put up this thing about Homo Russia. Did you guys see this? This whole debate going on with Donald Trump and the Russians, and they interfered with our election, yada, 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 and how ungodly Russia is, and how Christian America, we're the beacon of liberty, and all, yada, 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 yada. Did you know this? Look at this. This was on LifeSite News. Orthodox leader in Russia says gay marriage laws should be compared to Nazi laws. When's the last religious leader in America that you've heard say this? Now look what he says here. Slide on down there a little bit, Jared. Leader of Russia's 150 million Orthodox Christians. That would be like the Pope, wouldn't it be, Larry? That'd be like the Pope. Come back down a little bit, Jared. It came off my screen. I'm sorry. Right there. The leader of Russia's 150 million Orthodox Christians says homosexual marriage is unnatural, contrary to the conscience of every human being, which is why so many people resist its normalization for the same reason that people restricted fascism and apartheid. In an interview at some Russian Slavic university, His All Holiness Kirill was asked about same-sex marriage. And the patriarch, who is well known for opposing sodomy, referred to legalized gay unions as false so-called marriages. This is a Russian. He then flatly stated that they are a threat to family values because homosexuality is a complete break with the moral nature of man. Flat on down, Jared. The Russian government, its people have been under severe criticism for leaders in the West for standing against the homosexuality. Russian leaders are standing against the normalization of homosexuality. Look what Kirill says. When laws are detached from morality, they cease being laws people can accept. Hey, folks, Russia, the Russian government's people have been under severe criticism because they've been fighting. I'm sorry. The Christian leader then said something immediately pounced on by Western pro-gay mainstream media. He said this: people resist the legalization of same-sex marriage for the same reason that they resisted both fascist laws and laws of apartheid, because such laws break with morality. Hang on now. What are you saying here, Coach? I'm making a comparison for you because children are being taught in our schools that morality should have nothing to do with legality. They should have nothing to do. And this patriarch of a head of 150 million Christians in Russia, you heard that right, Christians in Russia says, no, legality is based on morality. Legality can only be based on morality. Now, look what the Western press did. Russian Orthodox patriarch says gay marriage is like Nazism. Same-sex marriage as immoral as Nazi laws. Head of Orthodox Church compares homosexual marriage to Nazism. Russian Orthodox leader, gay marriage advocates are like Nazis. See, he didn't say that. Slide on down, Jared. Patriarch Kirill's statement will probably garner a lot of criticism with gay pride folks, said some father over there. But he's pointing out a fundamental truth. Gay marriage is a creation of the state. Hear that, Jared? Natural marriage, on the other hand, conforms to nature. When the state affirms natural marriage, it merely recognizes that which already exists across culture and time. When the state deems that homosexual marriage should exist as part of the social order, however, it declares that the state is the source and judge of what qualifies as legitimate human relationships. The state is assumed an authority it legitimately does not have and becomes the enforcer of a new social order. The moral code reflects the natural law, which is ingrained in our very being. We have an innate sense of right and wrong, and an innate sense of right and wrong, which is the voice of our conscience. Fascist, communist, and apartheid laws violate our fundamental sense of freedom. Folks, this is Russia! This is Russia! This guy could walk into a school in Columbus, Ohio, and they would boo him off of the stage when, in fact, he is standing for what has always been established, natural, moral law. All moral, natural law comes from God. Russia. The forced imposition of homosexual marriage will be met with resistance, just like other contrived orderings enforced by the state authority, like fascism and apartheid, says the Father Jacob C. New social orderings. Whoops, I got lost there, Jared. New social orderings that go against nature universally oppress the human spirit. We see the early stages of this conflict with the state driving people out of business who resist the attempts to define homosexuality as a natural expression of human sexuality. Clear thinkers will discern the totalitarian spirit behind the enforcement and reject it regardless of the reasoning used to justify it. Wow, is this something? In 2016, the patriarch said same-sex marriage laws are at odds with the moral nature of human beings and are a significant threat for the existence of the human race. In 2013, His Holiness said homosexual marriage was self-destructive, very dangerous, an apocalyptic symptom. Woo! He speculated that some youth who join ISIS are misguided, honest people who join out of truly religious grounds. Go down last one more thing, Jared. The church can never approve of this, he said, but you will answer to God. However, if you're trying to propagate your sin by seducing and degrading people, society must oppose it. Wow. I feel like, anybody want to be a Russian? Anybody feel like being a Russian?
Yes.
And you do know this, don't you? that Putin has not accepted homosexuality. They won't accept it in Russia. Hey, Larry, who's the most Christian nation here?
Russia. Guess what?
Huh? Unbelievable, huh? Fly down. There's one more thing I want to say, Jared. Fly down. No. Right, there it is. Are you ready? Huh? On a spiritual level, he said, unnatural relationships are profoundly unhealthy. They isolate people rather than build a real community that will last. Jared, this piggybacks right off of what you said, and that's to the school board member. The destruction of the natural family is what's going on here. Comments, anybody? Nobody?
Yeah, I'll
folks,
say,
go ahead, Sarge.
This just goes to show you that we know where all of this came from. It came from the fallen angels.
Yeah, buddy.
And now you know and you can see why the people that live in Hollywood, the mainstream media, and everybody that are on this LGBT kick, that's why they're trying to paint this little rosy picture that Putin and our president are in collusion, because they're the two last remaining leaders in the world who are fighting, and although Trump's not fighting that hard, fighting to stop these illegal rules and regulations and laws being passed. And if they can pin Trump to Putin, and Putin is a naysayer against the LGBT community, then all of a sudden you have a way to impeach him because he won't follow the rules of the human rights.
What a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. So folks, understand this. Again, the tentacles that interconnect what's going on spiritually. Come on now. We're just not it. America, I'm talking about it. We're just not it. We're just part of this thing that's going on. Do you know that there are, believe it or not, real Christians in Russia? Do you know that there are real Christians in China? Do you know that there are real Christians in Afghanistan? Do you know that there are real Christians in Saudi Arabia? Do you know that there are real Christians in Egypt? Do you know that there are real Christians in Turkey? Do you know that there are real Christians that are hiding in Bangladesh? Folks, are you aware of this? Or are we so mind-numbed believing that only the American, what was that called? Love American style? That it's just Christianity American style? Can't we understand the depth, the explosion of Christianity around the world and the impact that the gospel is having in places that we never figured out? While we here in America have this greasy, greasy, bend over, let everybody have whatever they want to do, do whatever's right in your own eyes, we'll tolerate, we'll love, we'll do whatever. Can't you see that our Christianity in America is for the most part fake? It's for the most part. Why? Because it's not salt. It's sugar. Jesus said that we would be the salt of the earth. If we were the salt, hey, Larry, what does salt do? What's the purpose of salt?
It preserves and it creates thirst.
I had somebody tell me, Larry, that if you see a slug, pour salt on him, it kills him. Yeah. And so we are supposed to, the only opposition to all this stuff is supposed to be us, supposed to be the body of Christ, the church.
They use salt to kill the babies inside of women when they
get. How about that, Larry? Yeah, yeah. The salt of the womb. We've become the salt of the womb, haven't we, Larry? Yeah, we've become the salt of the womb. So here's what I think we have to come to realize, folks. I really am going somewhere today. I hope the Lord helps me be able to get there. Put my glasses on, see? Yeah, amen, Sarge. I'm becoming more and more convinced that the people that we come in contact with Larry, help me out here. How do you, with good discerning eyes and ears and a heart led with the Holy Spirit, how do you understand that someone might be saved but not a Christian? Does that make sense? Does that make sense, Sarge? Is it possible that some people are deceptively saved but not really following Christ? Larry, can you be saved and not follow Jesus?
I think it's all a part of the loose interpretation of what has been accepted as the gospel for the last millennia or so. Mm-hmm. Because the truth, a large part of the truth, has been neglected in the message of the kingdom of God. People think that being saved makes them a child of God. But John chapter 1, verse 12 very clearly says that when you receive Jesus, as many as have received him, to them, to those that received him, has he, Jesus, gave them the right, privilege, power, or authority. That next word can be translated as any of those and be correct. But when you receive Jesus, you get the right, privilege, power, or authority to become a child of God, is what the word says. It doesn't say receiving Jesus makes you a child of God. That's the breakdown in the gospel message that hasn't been taught properly, hasn't been read word for word out of the Bible properly, and people think that receiving Jesus saves them. No, receiving Jesus makes it possible for them to become a child of God. Now, they need the rest of the message of the Bible to figure out what they need to do to take that step.
Wow, man, oh, man, oh, man.
Hey, Coach.
Oh, man. Yes, Sarge.
And there's one other section, too, here that kind of puts a question mark. John 10:16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold.
Then pull that up there, Jared. John 10:16.
Yep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So that's a deep line right there. Who's in that other fold? I mean,
brother,
I have no idea.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. So here's what was on my heart as I was sitting down preparing the show today. How do we begin, we as Christians? See, we as Christians, reasons Christianity is floundering, my word, or the reason Christianity has metamorphosized, I don't even know if that's a word. The reason American Christianity has become different than any other Christianity in the world is because we've stopped being the salt of the earth, and we've allowed the Christianity that we practice in America to not be a kingdom Christianity, but a personal Christianity. And that's why you can be a Christian in America, be accepted as a Christian in America, and say, well, this may be true for me, but who am I to tell someone else what's right for them? Sarge, I hear that from Christians. I'm not talking about the world. I hear Christians say, well, I personally would never have an abortion, but who am I to tell someone else? See, we've taken Christianity and the morality of God, and we've personalized it. We've put it in a box, and no longer is it a universal ideal upon which we build a society. As we just heard from a Russian Orthodox guy who says, no, that gay marriage can't ever be. Boy, right wing watch will be after us today. And so, Sarge, George, that's what I've been saying over the last few days. Excuse me. The deeper you go, the more isolated you're going to become. Because as you go deeper, you are going to see and be exposed to things that you had never seen or never been exposed to, and you cannot go back to shallow Christianity. give me a thumbs up. Somebody say, boy, you know, hey, Sarge, what you just said about the Nephilim, the average person scratching their head, they don't even get it. And it's like I said yesterday, if you knew what I knew. Well, I want to play a short, well, I want to play two clips here because I'll show you what's going on in America. We teach in our public schools evolution is fact. We know it's not fact. It's not fact. But yet we let it be taught as fact. We Christians permit it to be taught as fact. We Christians pay our money to the schools for them to teach lies to the children. Or how about this? Part of the facts. There's just as much evidence, maybe even more evidence, that God created everything as opposed to God, to everything evolved. How do I know this? Because there was an eyewitness to the creation. There was no eyewitness to the evolution. So in a court of law, the eyewitness of the Bible would carry far more weight than the hearsay testimony of Charles Darwin. But yet we've allowed, do you remember the Scopes monkey trial? Do you remember that? Was it 1926 or 36 or back whenever that was? And the battle over the Scopes monkey trial was over the Dayton, Tennessee, I believe it was, could be wrong. The battle was over the right to teach a little bit of evolution. Creation was science. And in the Scopes monkey trial, the debate was over permitting evolution to be introduced as a possible theory. And here we are, after we opened that door, 70, 80, 100 years later, evolution's the truth. Creationism is a theory. And there's not any more evidence today for evolution than there was back in the days of the Snopes monkey trial. But see, those of us who are Christians, because we've wavered off of the truth, we allow lies to be taught as truth. See, you haven't read what I read from these 17 and 18-year-old kids. But it grieved me. The moral relativism. The idea that, well, something can be true in this situation, but it may not be true in this situation. That's called situational ethics. It may be true for me, but it's not true for you. Donald Trump colluded with the Russians, and we're going to do everything we can to get Donald Trump, but don't pay attention to what Hillary did. Relativism. It's the way we all think. It's the way we've all become. Show you a video. Jared, pull up that Planned Parenthood. This is very short, folks. Very, very short. Jared, it says abortion doctors. I don't know if you saw this or not. The Center for David DeLaden's group, the Center for Medical Progress. hang on a second, Jared. That's it. He released another video. David DeLaden did. Released another video. And all this video is a video of abortion doctors. It's very short. It's only like 45 seconds. Of abortion doctors discussing abortion. You know YouTube pulled it down? Do you know they went to federal court and a judge ruled that this could not be shown? Did you know that? Did you know that? See, I thought we're about science here, right? I thought we're all about science. And I just feel moral obligation to share this with those of you out there. This is a very, very short video with the words underneath it that of an undercover video that David DeLaden took again. Go ahead and play that, Jaron.
The fetus is a tough little object, and taking it apart on day one is very difficult.
That kind of surgery.
You go in there and you go, am I getting the uterus or the fetus? Oh, good, fetus. What have I got? Nothing. Let's try again.
Go back again, Jared, because I'm going to read that for those who don't have the ability to see. It's an undercover video. Maybe we can mute it, Jared. And I'm going to read it, and then we'll play it again for those of you who cannot see it. It's a It's a undercover video. Here's an abortion doctor, Susan Robinson. Her picture is on the screen, and the subtitle saying the words that she is saying. She says this: the fetus is a tough little object, and taking it apart, I mean, taking it apart. Jared's going to move it ahead. The fetus is a tough little object, and taking it apart, I mean, taking it apart on day one is very difficult. She's describing how they dismember babies. Stay with me. Keep going. So here's doctors. She says this. You go in there. It's got a picture of her talking to another doctor. She has forceps in her hands. And she says, you go in there and you go, am I getting the uterus or the fetus? Oh, good. Fetus. Keep going, Jared. Shows her. Oh, my goodness. This wicked woman. What have I got? Nothing. Oh, let's try again. Goes back in there again, tries to pull the little baby out. They're all sitting around talking about abortion techniques. Play it again, Jared. That's what you're going to hear, folks. Hey, this is science. This is real science, but not allowed to be shown on TV or on YouTube or anywhere. Go ahead.
The fetus is a tough little object, and taking it apart.
Wow.
On day one. Yeah. Is very difficult.
Well, that kind
of
surgery.
You go in there and you go, am I getting the uterus or the fetus? Oh, good, fetus. What have I got? Nothing. Let's try again.
This ghoul. Lord, hey, we are boys and girls. We are in a spiritual war like we can't even believe. Can't even believe. Sarge, God cannot bless America until we end this Holocaust. He can't bless it. Okay, Jared, let's go to another video. I did this about this for all of you out there right now. I hear from you a lot through email, Facebook. Say, Coach, man, you are hitting the home run. You are talking about me, Coach. Everything you're saying it's me. My friends have rejected me. I can't find a church that will accept me. I go in and I share something with the pastor or share it with the elders, and they disown me. They defellowship me. I'm losing all of my friends. But Coach, I'm sorry. I can't get this out of my head. So you cannot unsee what you've seen. Isn't that a Sarge? Isn't that what they call post-traumatic shock syndrome or whatever, PTSD, post-traumatic, explain what is that, Sarge? What is PTSD, being an old military guy?
Yeah, it's a recollection of horrendous events that, you know, mentally have a image in your mind that you just can't get rid of. And it's an unstable condition if you can't overcome it. And
so in other words, you lay down on your pillow at night, try to go to sleep, and you see a replay in your mind of an explosion that killed your best friend.
Yeah, that's a good example. And the medical community uses medication for the most part to try to numb it, and all they're doing is just putting drugs that softens the brain thinking process and gives them some sort of level of existence. I think part of the problem, and I think where Franklin Graham actually is trying to make some inroads, is he's bringing these warriors in who have either had marriage issues or PTSD issues into his place up in Alaska, where they can do some healing, and it's all Christ-centered healing and getting back to some Christian principles to help them overcome it so that they can avoid, because the drugs, like anything else, the drugs may cause you some numbing and be able to cope, but it's not going to reduce or negate what they've already seen in their mind, just like what you've talked about. Once you've read something and you have knowledge of it, how are you going to forget it unless you
That's right. So, Sarge, we're talking about post-truth stress disorder. That's what's happening to millions and millions of Christians. All of a sudden, they've been hit straight in the face with truth. And what do they do? They go places where people try to medicate them, try to give them some medicine, try to entertain them. They try to use drugs. They try to do anything they can. They disassociate with them. Oh, he's crazy. He's crazy. He's got a tinfoil hat. Post-truth stress disorder. And I'm here to encourage those of you who are out there who have the courage to follow that trail into that rabbit hole. You can't unsee what you've already seen. What was it I said yesterday? If you knew what I knew. Jared, go ahead and play that little 3-minute video. It's entitled, I'm Sorry That You Can't See It. Sorry that you can't see it. This is from 2013.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswithviews.tv at newswithviews.com. And I just have to be honest with you today. I say a lot of things that aggravate a lot of people. If you would ever have the opportunity to check out my emails and some of the things that people say after they watch one of these videos or after they read something that I've written at newswithviews.com, I'm just telling you, it is unbelievable. But as I've shared with you before in some previous videos and some things that I've written, I didn't always think the way that I think. I didn't always. And so sometimes I don't really get mad when people say hateful things to me, because you know why? I used to think like that. I used to, the things that they did, I used to do. The things that they say, I used to say. The things that they think, I used to think. But when I had this, I don't know what else to say, this born again experience in my life back in 1987, when the Spirit of the living God came and indwelt inside my body. In fact, that's what the Bible says, you know, that he who was with you shall be in you. The Spirit of God in me, my entire perspective on life changed. It changed. One of the things that makes me so frustrated as I see what's going on in America is the things that people try to do to try to get me to keep my mouth shut. But you know what? Just like a watchman standing on the wall, I got to tell you what I see. And so I've come behind this microphone and I get in front of you on the camera and I tell you this. I say, listen, the consequences in America for the fact that we have aborted 50 million babies is leading to many of the problems that we see in this nation. The fact that women are disturbed after they do it. They feel guilty the rest of their lives. We see divorces as a result of it. We see all types of issues. Abortion is a horrible issue that is destroying this nation. You know what? I'm sorry if you can't see it. Pornography is traumatic to what's going on in America. There's probably nothing in America that defiles the marriage bed more than pornography. Men who take someone else to bed with them when they go to bed with their wives. It destroys marriages. It destroys families. It destroys careers. Pornography should not be a free speech issue, but I'm sorry if you can't see it. Sorry. Now look at what's going on in the economy and the government, and they're printing money, and more people are spending more and more money and charging up higher and higher debts. And our government has spent so much money that we will never be able to repay it. And the consequences of that is what? We have cast upon our kids heavy burdens that they will never be able to shake off. And it is all happening because why? We have lost the biblical admonition to not covet, to not steal, to not lie. Everything happening has a spiritual reason and a spiritual consequence. And I'm sorry if you can't see it. I see it so clearly. The connections to me are so easy to make. I look at what's going in our government schools. We've ripped out all morality. We've ripped out all biblical morality in the lives of our children. And we've substituted it with environmentalism and tolerance and diversity and humanism. And you look what's going on in our culture with our families and with marriages and with sexual promiscuity and everything that's running rampant, and say, oh my goodness, it's happened because we've left these biblical foundations. And I'm sorry if you can't see it. A wise man, I don't know if he was wiser than me or not, but a wise man said, there are none so blind as he who will not see. And in fact, Jesus spoke about that also. He said, how is it that you have eyes and see not, and ears that hear not? How can that be? Jesus said. How can you be so blind that you can't see what's going on? I'm sorry if you can't see it. The only hope for America is a return to biblical morality, to teach it to our children and our grandchildren. It's our only opportunity to save this nation. And I'm sorry if you can't see it. This is Coach Dave Dobbin, my news.
Hey, Jared, I've thought of you. By the way, Jared, I got a lot of reaction yesterday from people who were really, really moved by what you did with your friend there on the school board. I want to tip my cap to you and let you know that others said it. Jim just texted me, said people have been taught in the church in America that they must have some kind of an emotional experience. That religion is emotional. A relationship with Jesus is emotional. That's really true, Jim. Driven by our emotions, and as our friend Chad says, your emotions will betray you. And I saw yesterday that in Philadelphia, I believe, could have the city wrong, in eight public schools in Philadelphia. Guys, are you listening to this? In eight public schools in Philadelphia, nobody passed the proficiency test. In eight schools in Philadelphia, nobody passed this proficiency test. Why is that? Because we've allowed our schools to become centers of, dare I say it, emotion. Teach people to react by emotion, not facts, not fact-based, not homosexuality is wrong because it destroys America. We've traded that for, well, homosexuality is an option because who am I to say what's right and wrong? There is no stand. Do you understand that? And so now we have I bet those kids in Philadelphia can probably tell you about global warming. I bet they can probably tell you about same-sex marriage, but they can't do their math and they can't do their science and they don't know anything about history. Jared, I'm in Philippians chapter 3. Anybody want to jump in? Just got about 8 minutes left here. Still got room for somebody out there wants to jump in here this morning. Anybody's listening, say, boy, do I want to say something? Well, come and join the huddle right there. Coach Dave Live, just click on join the huddle and jump in here. See, we've been taught that Jesus doesn't hate sin. Jesus loves sinners, but he doesn't hate sin. Jesus loves the sinner so much that you can continue in your sin. Because who are you to judge? And there isn't really a sin anyway. And we know that we evolved and Jesus was just a historical figure. But that's about as far as it goes.
You know, Coach, it hasn't changed much. Back in the days of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 12, you know, not only do people not see what some of
we
us
see,
but the thing is even if they looked at it or heard it, in a lot of cases, until it touches them and their lives and their situation personally, they're not going to even try to open their eyes and receive. And
hey,
God,
Larry,
knew that was the way it was. And back in his
ranchers,
days,
I'm right. Sorry, ranchers' lives matter, right, Larry? Ranchers'
yes,
lives matter. But it only matters to the ranchers whose lives get taken, right? It doesn't matter.
That one poor guy that got sentenced to 7 years for standing with the Bundys back in 2014,
yep.
I guess.
Yep. See, folks, Christianity has become experiential. If I don't feel it, then it can't be true. Well, I'm going to tell you, most of your life, most of the things that you take for granted every day, you can't really prove based on faith. Now, it's probably scientific, but you believe it by faith. You don't believe it by science. And unfortunately, we've now taken science, I'm sorry, we've now taken faith, and we've mystified it to having something that you just believe for, when in fact faith is a substance of things that you cannot see. It is the very basis of it. I'm in Philippians 4, 3, and I want to start in verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of a knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Do count them but dung that I may win Christ. This is Paul. He's lost everything. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. See, listen, faith doesn't mean not believing in everything. It means believing in what you cannot see. Knowing, even though you can't see it. That's what faith is, okay? You know it even though you can't see it. You know it. You go to bed every night and you know the sun's coming up tomorrow. You can't prove it, but you know it's going to. That's faith. You know it exists, but you can't prove it. See, folks, if you can prove it, it doesn't take faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained it, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as you have for as an example. For as many of them whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, and mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. From hence also we look for the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working wherein he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Hey, boys, don't let him steal out of your heart what the Lord's put in there. I encourage you. I exalt you. What's the word? I exhort you, go deeper, go deeper. Hey, to the high calling, not the lowlands of Christianity. Go deeper to the high calling, to the high calling. And American Christianity has taught us today that the high calling of Christ is a better life for you to live here and now. Instead of living a life that's where we say we've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live. Instead of living a crucified life, we live a life Christ crucified to make our lives better. Folks, that's not what it's all about. So we live in a culture and a society where it's getting ready to knock on your door. I'm telling you, the jack thug boots, boot thug, whatever they are, the jackbooted thugs are coming after the gospel. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been violated. It's been destroyed from the outside. Not a blow has been struck. Not a shot has been fired. Not a knife has been stabbed. And yet the kingdom of God has been stolen. It's been stolen from us. Now listen. Oh, Lord, thank you. Remember this, that Jesus warned the Jewish people that he was going to take that kingdom from them and give it to another. So evidently there's something about this kingdom that's transferable. And once you have entered into it, and once your eyes have been opened, don't let anybody steal that high calling out of your heart. What a time to be alive. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.